Alrighty, so we are ready to go. I just want to put something in the chat window so it's there for everyone during this whole program. So we're going to have an initiation on Wednesday, our time, and Wednesday, also New Zealand, Australia time. And it's going to be in the morning. In Australia, I know it's going to be in the morning here at 5 o'clock in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji, it's going to be in the evening. So here's the time. I'm just going to type in. It's going to be available on Zoom, on the same Zoom account. Also on Facebook, the Facebook account, Vijay Goswami Das, at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight Time in USA, and also 7 p.m. Australia time, and also Mishina's grain ceremony. Wow, 7 months ago. Okay, also we're going to have a baby sacrifice, and also 9 p.m. Fiji, New Zealand time, and there are going to be several devotees. Anyway, all that is on the 26th, wherever you are in this world, 26th of August. And so we have several devotees from New Zealand taking first initiation. Four devotees taking second initiation from New Zealand. Four devotees taking first initiation from New Goloka. One devotee taking second initiation from New Goloka. Two devotees taking first. Well, one devotee is taking first and second in Australia, and another devotee is taking first in Australia. So all that's going to be available on, as I just wrote, on my Facebook page and on Zoom. And also in Australia, they're going to be doing their own thing on Zoom too, at least for one of the locations in Australia. So please join us. Also, Tuesday in New Goloka, Tuesday evening, we're going to be having our Radhastami celebration, which will be Wednesday morning in Australia and New Zealand. And that's going to be 5 o'clock, the same time we're doing right now. 5 o'clock in the evening in New Goloka. That's in the east coast of the United States. Let me just write this down so everybody can see it for the duration of this class. So, let's see, Radhastami, Radhastami. You can't see me. Well, how fortunate you are. Okay. Now you can. You're not missing anything. Anyways, by not seeing me. So, Radhastami in New Goloka, 5 p.m., 25th of August. Got it. And that will consist of a class and Abhishek. Okay. And that will be, 5 p.m. will be 7 a.m. Oh, and three dances, which I am practicing for right now. So, anyway, please don't tune into my dances. Anyway, Champa Galata and her group are going to be doing dances on the 25th of August at 5, well, after my class at 5 p.m., before the Abhishek. Okay, so that's the Abhishek, three dances, so that's going to be 7 a.m. the 26th of August in Australia, and 9 a.m. Yeah, that's right. The 26th in Fiji and New Zealand. I think everybody else can figure out when it's going to be. All right, so let's chant Jai Radhamadava, which we usually do before class. It's posted there. If you want to see the chat, you go down to the window where on the bottom and you hit the little chat bubble and you'll see how I posted it, and then you can copy it all. Chat is on the bottom, in case you can't figure that out. All, take your little arrow, go down to the bottom, and you'll see something that says chat, and you hit chat, and you'll see the information there. Okay, so let us chant Jai Radhamadava. Take a picture of it. It'll stay there for the duration of the class. So, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vardhati, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vardhati, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Bana Chauti, Yamuna Tira Bana Chauti, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vardhati, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vardhati, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhitakacharya, All Stuttera Siddhashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanad Bhaktivananda Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Anadagoti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijai, Parim Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi, Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radhakunda, Giri Gober Dan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Jagadatha Sami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrind Kijai, Go Vrimananda Hari Hari Go. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. Okay, actually I do have one more announcement before we start class. There is a program we're having tomorrow with several other devotees on the internet. And let's see, I'm trying to show it to you. It's called The Emergence of Women's Voices in ISKCON. Don't worry, I'm not one of the women who have a voice, but anyway. So what it is, it's tomorrow morning, let me see, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time to 11:30 Eastern Daylight Time. It's a panel discussion about revitalizing the heart of ISKCON. It's an interactive session with questions and answers. And so it's about women's position in ISKCON. And it is starring some good devotees and some a bad devotee myself. So the good devotees are Anutma Prabhu, Vishaka Devi Dasi, Rukmini Devi Dasi, and the bad devotee is me. So you are welcome to watch it. Please watch it on Facebook Live rather than on the Zoom ID, because I think we're going to be maxed out on the Zoom ID. It's ISKCON Vaishnava Ministry in the Facebook page. You can take a picture of it if you want on your screen. Of course, it's going to be too late in the evening in Australia and New Zealand, but perfect timing for everybody in the United States and everybody in Europe. Again, that's, as we see here, 10 to 11:30 Eastern Daylight Time. That's the same thing as Eastern Standard Time, which means we are on daylight savings right now. And so it's a panel discussion about women's position in ISKCON, the history of women's positions in ISKCON, and where do we go from here. It should be actually quite interesting. And it's going to be questions and answers, and I really am looking forward to it. It's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Got it? And there's actually a whole book called The Emergence of Women's Voices in ISKCON, a collection of letters, articles, papers, and conference reports. And if you're interested in the book, go to the ISKCON Vaishnava Ministry Facebook page, and there'll be a place where you could download the book for free. It's quite an interesting book, and I've been working with women's ministry for some time, although I am not in a woman's body in this lifetime. Okay, so that would be nice if devotees can join us or watch it later on. Of course, it's going to be recorded on Facebook, and then also it'll be available, I think, later on YouTube. I'm going to try to record it myself so I can have it on my YouTube channel too. Okay, so let's continue with our Bhagavad Gita study. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmeritam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, so let's go to the Bhagavad Gita. We are on the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And as I mentioned many times before, this is one of my favorite chapters because it's the chapter about devotional service. And I happen to like devotional service. Okay. Let's go. So, today we're continuing with text 13 to 14. Remember the previous text in the this chapter? You know, first Arjuna asks Krishna what is better, the impersonal or personal. Krishna says the personal is better, it's much easier, and also it's natural for people who are embodied, which is all of us. I don't think any of us are disembodied unless we're a ghost. It's natural, it's easier, it's the goal, and someone who does the impersonal, eventually, if they're really lucky, they'll reach the personal. That was the first thing. And then Krishna says, you know, you should always think of me and serve me and things like that. And Krishna said, if you can't do it, then at least follow the rules and regulations. Bhakti yoga, if you can't do that, then at least offer things to me. If you can't do that, at least I'll work in such a way that you're detached from this material world. Krishna acts very mercifully in this particular chapter. So now we're going to get on to a new portion of the chapter, which begins with text 13. And 13, 14 are together. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karane vacha niramo nirahankara samaduka sukha kshame santushta satatam yogi tatma drida nischayaha mayarpita mano bhutir yo mag bhakta samade priyaha. Advaishta, non-envious, sarvabhutanam, toward all living entities, maitra, friendly, karuna, kind, eva, certainly, cha, also, nirma, maha, with no sense of proprietorship, nirahankara, without false ego, sama, equal, dukkha, in distress, sukha, and happiness, kshami, forgiving, santushtaha, satisfied, satatam, always, yogi, one engaged in devotion, yata, atma, self-controlled, dhrita, nishchiyaha, with determination, mayi, upon me, arpita, engaged, manaha, mind, buddhi, and intelligence, ya, one who, matpat, bhaktaha, my devotee, sahahi, may to me, priyaha, dear. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, who is equal to both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So these, of course, are Vaishnava qualities. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the Bhagavatam itself is for people who are not envious, nirmatsaram satar. So what does it mean to be envious? Basically, to want what someone else has, not understanding, according to the Upanishad, that everybody has a quota given by God. Like if someone is more attractive than you, more beautiful than you, more rich than you, more famous than you, more strong than you, whatever, more intelligent than you. Understand, it's given by Krishna. Whatever you got is your the best interest, your best interest. Make the best use of your good bargain. And whatever the other person got, that's his karma for his best interest. And then also not to use other people for your sense gratification. That's also envy. Like if I eat animals or even eat plants without offering them to Krishna, then I'm envious of them because I'm taking away from them what belongs to them in Krishna's service and what is theirs. And I don't have that right unless I offer the fruit or flower or the water to Krishna, you know, vegetarian fruit offered to Krishna. So even if you're vegetarian and you don't offer it to Krishna, you're envious of the broccoli or the asparagus or the string beans or the quinoa. You're just envious because you're taking it, thinking you are the proprietor. Okay, first point. But not only is one not envious, but it must be a friend to all living entities. That means to love all living entities. How do you love all living entities? By loving Krishna. Then automatically you love all living entities, because if you take them one by one, let me love this cockroach. Okay, let me figure out what good quality a cockroach has. It doesn't look too bad. So, no, you love Krishna, and everybody related to Krishna you love in one stroke. Like Prabhupada gave the example that when you pay your taxes, you know, normally we have taxes that we pay, hopefully, unless you're a Hare Krishna devotee, then if you have taxes to pay, those taxes eventually will get distributed to various branches of the government, right? Right? But you don't give directly to all those various branches of the government. For example, you know, if I pay my taxes to the U.S. government, some of it will go to the post office. Oh, that's a mistake. Nowadays it doesn't go to the post office. I forgot who's in charge. Anyway, so some of it, that's a joke. Some of it will go to the army. Some of it will go to the navy. Some of it will go to different branches of the government. But I don't go and pay taxes separately to the army, the navy, the air force, the Congress. You know, it's distributed because I give to the Internal Revenue Service. You understand? So this is not a statement about the government. This is not a statement about taxes. It's simply an example and analogies to help you understand what it means to give to Krishna, and then it's attributed to everybody. So that's how you become a friend to all living entities. Another way you become a friend to all living entities is knowing what's good for them. You're not a friend if you act sentimentally and you give them something that's not good for them because you're in ignorance. Like if I want to help someone, I want to find out what way would be best to help someone. Then who does not think of himself a proprietor, Everything is owned by Krishna. Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam Yatkin Chai Jagajam Jagat. That's from the Upanishad. That everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone is given a quota. But even this body, you know, some people make the argument, it's my body, I can do anything I want with it. Don't bug me, Prabhu. No, you can't. It's not your property. I mean, just like the argument for abortion. You know, it's my body. Don't stick your business, you know, your controlling to my body. Well, God, it ain't your body. How do you have a claim to that body? Is there a certificate? Just like when you buy a house, you get a title certificate. Do you have a title certificate for the body? Did you bring the elements together and create it? I mean, just like many things I create. I build things. I built the temple here. Okay. Did I build this body? No. Did I pay for it? No. So where did I get the ingredients from? You could say from your mother. But where did my mother get the ingredients from? The laboratory. Anyway, so we have no right to think of ourselves as the proprietor even of this body. Free from false ego. False ego means the doer and proprietor. I am mine. I am the center. I am important. I am the enjoyer. I. The I business. And equal in both happiness and distress. That's hard. How can you be equal in both happiness and distress? Because you understand that's the nature of this world. What goes up must come down. And whatever distress is given to us, that's Krishna's arrangement for our purification. Whatever happiness, that's Krishna's arrangement too. So we just remain equal. Oh, equal means we act equally in both happiness and distress. Someone insults us, we don't insult them back. You know, someone insults us, says, you are stupid. We don't say, you are stupid too. Like you used to do in school. Like I remember so many of these schoolroom fights we had with people. You're ugly. You're ugly too. No, just say, someone says you're ugly, okay. Hare Krishna. So, tolerant, that's also related with tolerant. Tolerant means we keep on doing what we're supposed to do no matter what else is happening in the world. Satisfied because we take satisfaction within, in our loving relationship with Krishna. I know Krishna loves me. I love him. I'm working for Krishna. And, you know, whatever else happens, if I don't get enough to eat, I'm also satisfied. Self-controlled means we control our senses and focus them, accept everything favorable, reject everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable for serving the Supreme Personality, got it. And then we engage in devotional service with determination, as described in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatma Gabhuya, a.k.a. Kara, a.k.a. Kurunandana, just being one-pointed. Yes, I must be Krishna conscious. Because you won't be successful even in this world unless you're goal-oriented. If you're not goal-oriented, you're just going to be, you know, Oshaptas-Twanantas-Cha. You're going to be all over the place. And that is not determination. So, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Mind, how do you fix the mind on Krishna? Actually, there's two different things, mind and intelligence. Mind, what is the mind? The mind is attracted as his natural, like, attraction, repulsion to different things. So if we hear enough about Krishna, then our mind naturally gravitates to Krishna. We hear how beautiful he is, how much he engages in amazing pastimes. He plays a flute. He steals the gopis' clothes. I mean, it's just amazing stories. And so your mind just fixes it. Steals the butter, feeds it to the monkeys. So you hear about all these pastimes, and that's how you engage your mind. Intelligence means we understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and we apply it in our daily lives. You don't understand philosophy unless you apply it. Otherwise, it's simply, like Prabhupada said, an armchair speculator. Actually, Prabhupada said, I was listening to Prabhupada talking to some so-called philosophers, you know, PhD philosophers, and Prabhupada said, you are not philosophers. Which is that they were shocked. We're not philosophers. What's our degree in? who are not philosophers. You know, a philosopher would be like a transcendentalist or something like that. Probably really chastise them. Because a philosopher basically means philosopher, one who loves knowledge. Okay, let me analyze that word. If you love knowledge, you'll act according to that knowledge, not that you'll just like engage in word jugglery. He said you're a theosophist or something like that. He gave some other word for it, but you're just like not philosophers. So anyway, so a real philosopher engages his intelligence on Krishna. He loves the knowledge. Philosopher. That's what philosopher means. One who loves. Philosopher. One who loves knowledge. Okay. And Krishna says, such a person or a devotee of Krishna who has these qualities is very dear to Krishna. So there's going to be a whole bunch of verses where Krishna talks about people or devotees who are very dear to him. Prabhupada said, coming again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past deeds. So it's better to suffer than to protest. In other words, someone else may consider a devotee to be their enemy, but a devotee does not consider that person to be his enemy. He just thinks that this person is acting as a result of something I did in the past and giving me some token reaction. The typical example of that is the story of Dharma the Bull in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma the Bull and Bhumi, the personality of religion and cow, they're both being attacked by Kali, who is Kali Yuga. And he's basically cutting the legs of the bull. That's horrendous. And actually, in Fiji, I was informed that sometimes people who are not Krishna conscious, that is, not devotees, and I don't think Indians, but they'll actually, if you have a bull or a cow in the field, they'll actually cut the legs off and leave the cow or bull to die without the legs because they're going to eat the meat on the legs. Horrible. So this Kali, he was cutting the legs of the bull. He's cutting three of the four legs. And these legs, of course, represent, it's a sort of an analogy, represent religious principles, cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And so as he was cutting the legs of the bull, this great king, descendant of the Pandavas, appears. It was Parikshit. And he comes and says, who are you? And Kali was dressed like a king. He was impersonating the president. Oh, sorry, impersonating. I did that deliberately. So he was impersonating a great saintly king. And sometimes you find people who are impersonating a great saintly president, prime minister, or something like that, but they're actually personalities or manifestations of Kali. So anyway, so Parikshit Maharaj comes upon him and says, who are you? Stop this. And then he goes to the bull, who has done this to you? And the bull says, that is very difficult to ascertain. So in other words, the bull understood that it was Krishna's arrangement. As mentioned in the 30th, text of the 6th chapter, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, that one should see Krishna everywhere and everything. One is never lost to Krishna, nor is Krishna ever lost to him, if one sees like that. So he thought, it's Krishna's arrangement. He didn't blame the person who was doing that to him. He didn't say, get him, torture him, kill him. He just said it's very difficult to understand. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj understood who had done it, and he captured this personality of Kali. And what did he do? He got ready to kill him. And the personality of Kali surrendered to Parikshit Maharaj. He said, I surrender to you, help me, give me protection. You have to give protection even to rascals if they surrender to you. Now, that's the duty of the king, to give protection if someone surrenders. And Parikshit Maharaj didn't kill him at that point, but he said, you get out of here. And then Kali said, give me some place to go because I can't go anywhere. In your kingdom, none of my activities are allowed. I'm not, you know, you're not allowed to have illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, any of those things in my kingdom, in your kingdom. And Pariksit Maharaj said, all right, let's make a concession. You can go wherever there's illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. And Kali said, I just told you, there's none of that going on. And Pariksit Maharaj thought for a second. He said, okay, you can go wherever there is gold being hoarded for sense gratification, not just gold. I mean, it's not that everybody has a gold ornament. It is actually a manifestation of Kali, the age of coral. So anyway, so that's the point. The point is about the bull. The bull did not blame the person who was torturing him. But still, he wanted the protection of Pariksit Maharaj. You still want to be protected. You still don't accept torture. You know, someone's starting to torture you. It's not you say, you know, hit me again, harder, harder, harder. Who asked for help? But you never get angry. Never consider the other person an enemy. That's a high standard. Like I said, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 8, this is a famous verse, it is stated, Tat te nukampam sushamikshamano bunjanivadma kritam vipakam. And the rest of it is vidvadma purvir vidadam namaste jivaita yo mukti tade sudayavak. That a devotee, when he's experiencing some distressful situation, he takes it as his own, actually his own fault, and he's just getting a token reaction for his past bad activities. And then, in spite of that, he goes on serving the Lord enthusiastically with his mind, body, and words. And that's such a person who does that, let me continue with the translation, then becomes the rightful inheritor of pure devotional service. In other words, tolerating everything and then simply continuing to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada says, whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. I mean, many times we experience this, that we think, it's not fair. I'm not getting treated fairly. Well, you may not be getting treated fairly, but you know, Krishna arranged that unfair situation. Of course, you should defend yourself too. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Niramama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body because he knows perfectly well he is not the material body. That's very similar to the 15th chapter of the year, Nirmana Moha, Jita Sangha Dosha. We'll get to that sooner or later. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is freed from the conception of false ego and is equal poised in happiness and distress. In other words, if someone offends us or criticizes us, they can't really criticize us because they can't see us. What do they see is the body. If they say, you're ugly, okay, but you don't see me. You're stupid, but you don't hear me or see the soul. You're useless. I'm a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So how can they criticize you anyway? If someone cannot see you or understand anything about you because they have materialistic vision, how can they criticize you? I mean, they can, but can't take it seriously. It's just like when I went to school, you know, people used to call me Four Eyes. You know, many years ago, before a lot of people wore glasses. And now I'd say half the people wear glasses at school. Anyway, so he is tolerant and he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty. Therefore, he is always joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatna Nishauchatina Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Manbhakti Mabate Brahma. One who's on the spiritual platform, he doesn't hanker doesn't lament, you know, hanker, oh, I want this, I want that. I can't live without lament. Oh, what happened? I lost that. I had so much of that. So many people love me. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master, and because his senses are controlled, he's determined. Charge. He is not swayed by false arguments because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord and no one can disturb him. Because Krishna's behind me. You may not see him, but he's behind me, backing me up. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulated principles of devotional service. It happens just by doing that and pleasing Prabhupada and pleasing one's spiritual master. It's very simple. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his activities and full Krishna consciousness. Okay, so here's another devotee who's dear to Krishna. Oh, another more qualities of a devotee that indicate he's dear to Krishna. So, Yasman no vijate loko lokan no vijate jaya arshamarsha vayod vegar mukto yasa chame priyaha yasmat from whom na never udvijate or agitated lokaha people lokat from people na never udvijate is disturbed cha also ya anyone who harsha from happiness amarsha distressed by a fear udvegaha and anxiety muktaha freed ya who saw anyone cha also may to me priyaha very dear he by whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone who is equal poise and happiness and distress fear and anxiety is very dear to me. In other words, we're very conscious of not disturbing others. I mean, sometimes what we do disturbs others, but we don't do that deliberately. And we just continue not disturbed by anyone. Same thing, equal poise and happiness and distress. Same thing in the dualities, fear and anxiety. Actually, it's very dear. I just want to describe two aspects of the primitive brain. We all have this primitive brain in addition to our more developed brain. And that primitive brain basically controls many things, many of the autonomic functions of the body. But in this particular context, we're going to talk about fight or flight. What is fight or flight? Fight or flight. Oops. Let me turn this phone off. So, fight or flight means responses we have to stressful situations, like fighting. Like if someone comes up to us and challenges us, you know, we want to fight with them, or if they're really big, we run away. And, you know, generally that's how the animals deal with things too, fighting or flighting. It's like I have some pet squirrels outside my door here that come and engage in eating, sleeping, mating, defending right before me, and they don't follow the principles too well. I guess they do, they're vegetarians, and they eat prasadam. But anyways, so if I move towards them, they get so scared, so that's flight. But if there's a smaller squirrel that comes near them, then they fight over the food. So that's generally our response. Because of this fight or flight response, we generally experience anxiety, anger, and so many other, and depression too. Like sometimes the psychologists describe that depression is due to the flight syndrome. We just want to get away from something, escape. So that's depression. I'm not saying all depression is due to that, but these are the diseases of the modern man. Anxiety and depression, and fear and anxiety are very similar. So, but one who's able to be not disturbed by these things, in equal poise, is very dear to Krishna. A few of a devotee's qualifications are further being described. No one is put into difficulty, anxiety, fearfulness, or dissatisfaction by such a devotee. Since a devotee is kind to everyone, he does not act in such a way as to put others into anxiety. I will repeat that, since someone acted in such a way to put me in anxiety today. Since a devotee, and they may be watching, since a devotee is kind to everyone, he or she does not act in such a way as to put others into anxiety. How about that? At the same time, if others try to put a devotee into an anxiety, he's not disturbed. Anyway, that's a challenge. It is by the grace of the Lord that he is so practiced that he is not disturbed by any outward disturbance. In other words, yes, obviously his mind may be a little bit affected, but he goes on serving in spite of that. It's not that he's a stone. Actually, because a devotee is always engrossed in Krishna consciousness and engaged in devotional service, such material circumstances cannot move him. In other words, he's determined. Pleasure, pain, happiness, distress. Generally, a materialistic person becomes very happy when there is something for his sense gratification and his body. But when he sees that others have something for their sense gratification, he hasn't. He is sorry and envious. Wow. Actually, you see that sometimes, even with people on the periphery of the Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, I was just dealing with someone who is in Europe right now, and he's going around criticizing the leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement. He's saying, all are interested in his sense gratification and money. Huh. You know, he's sorry and envious. I mean, what can you do? What can you do? You know, it's not... I can tell you, you know, I got a lot better ways to enjoy the senses and be interested in money than being a sannyasi. You know, it's not really the methodology that would be anyone's first pick. When he's expecting some retaliation from an enemy, he is in a state of fear. This is like a materialist. He's in a state of fear, and when he cannot, that's anxiety too. When he cannot successfully execute something, he becomes dejected. I'm hopeless, I'm useless, I'm worthless. So instead of thinking you're hopeless, worthless, useless, whatever, think that, you know, I tried my best and I'll try better. Try again, try again. If you first, you don't succeed, try again. And Krishna's pleased with me trying to serve him. Because Krishna is pleased with the endeavor. Try your best and Krishna is pleased with you. Krishna does not expect miracles. The prophet expected miracles sometimes, but Krishna just wants you to do your best. You can't do better than your best. And if you make a mistake, you tried your best. Krishna is so kind. A devotee who is always transcendental to all these disturbances is very dear to Krishna. Okay, here's another Priya verse. Okay. Anapeksha shuchirdaksha udasino gatavita sarvaramba patyagi yodmad bhakta same priya. Anapeksha, neutral, suchi, pure, daksha, expert, udasinaha, free from care, gatavyata, free from all distress, sarva aramba, of all endeavors, parityagi, renouncer, yaha, anyone who, madbhaktaha, my devotee, sahi, may, to me, priyaha, very dear. My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Wow. In other words, devotional service doesn't depend on anything material, a high degree of pratyata. And our happiness is just dependent on pleasing Krishna. And if we don't have anything in this world, we can still please Krishna, even if we are completely paralyzed. Like that Brahmin, he wasn't paralyzed, but he didn't have any way to please Krishna externally. So he meditated on preparing sweet rice for Krishna. And he was meditating. I told the story before. He's meditating, stirring the sweet rice. Finished preparing the sweet rice. Wanted to let it cool. Wanted to see if the sweet rice was at the appropriate temperature, cool to offer to Krishna. Put his finger in. This is all meditation. Put his finger into the sweet rice. And his meditation burnt his finger. Came out of the meditation. Finger burnt too. Krishna was laughing at him. Krishna came down, sent for him, took him back to Godhead. So we're not dependent upon anything else. I mean, if you become completely paralyzed, you can still serve Krishna. It's amazing. But, you know, so many times we get depressed when something is taken away from us, something we can't do anymore because, you know, we're getting old or whatever, or sick or poor or whatever. But no, we can still serve Krishna under any circumstance. That's this version of the Bhagavatam. There's no material cause, and it satisfies the yatma, supersedate the soul, and the person is satisfied. So pure, expert. Pure means, what do you mean? What does it mean? Pure externally, you know, clean, clean, clean. Internally, always remembering Krishna, you remain pure. There's a verse, Om Pavitra Pavitrava Sarvavastam Gatopiva Yatsmarit Punarikaksham Savaya Avyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu. One remembers Krishna, one remains always pure. Expert doesn't mean that he knows how to do everything, but at least he's a cool enough mind to figure out who to ask to figure out something. Sometimes we'll go on Google. Without cares, because basically you're going to be successful. Krishna's addressing this to Arjuna because Arjuna may be worried whether he's going to be successful, because he probably wasn't after seeing the universal form, but he may be worried. But he'll be successful. We're all going to be successful as long as we stick to the path. Guaranteed success. Guaranteed. It's like the best guarantee you can get. Free from all pains because you're detached from the body and not striving for any result for oneself. And then you're very dear to Krishna. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. In other words, you can make some endeavor for money, but it's not that you should neglect your spiritual practices because of money and work day duty, night duty, three jobs, and your wife works three jobs just so you can have that five-bedroom, eight-bedroom house when you can live comfortably with one bedroom, two bedrooms. I mean, people in India, they have a whole family, like 10 people living in one room. And are they miserable because of it? No. Not really. When I was a brahmachari, we used to have 25 men living in one room. And it was blissful. Except when they snored. But anyway, it was blissful because you had all your friends around you. Just this, we have this American conception that everybody needs their own house and room and swimming pool and things like that. Naturally, a devotee takes, here Prabhupada explains purity, a devotee takes a bath at least twice a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service, Haribol. Thus, he is naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert, because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life, and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. A devotee is never pained because he is free from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation. In other words, it ain't me, and I'm just identifying with it. I give up the identification, I give up the pain. So if there are some bodily pains, he is free. Fantastical. The pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety. Tell me about it. Working with the contractors. Phew. But he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. I mean, just like right now, we're doing some additions on the temple and the bathrooms and everything like that. And I have to go out there every day and make friends with the contractors and be in anxiety. But we do it for Krishna. And I remember when Prabhupada was trying to buy the land in Mayapur for the temple, he sent Tamal Krishnamaraj out with a money belt, like an improvised money belt. A lot of money at that time, a lot of money. And Prabhupada was just in so much anxiety about what was going to happen. He was up pacing back and forth in anxiety about Tamal Krishnamaraj's safety, whether we got the land. And so finally Tamal Krishnamaraj arrives back at night and he tells Prabhupada, we have the land. And Prabhupada said, Jai, take rest. Take prasadam and take rest. Prabhupada was relieved of his anxiety. So a devotee can be in anxiety, but not for personal gain or for his personal sense gratification. And tomorrow we will go to text 17. We're going to finish the chapter most likely tomorrow. This is a short chapter. So let us take some preguntas, which means questions in Spanish. Hold on a second. Let me unmute you. Just give me 1 second. You are now officially allowed to unmute yourselves. Okay, who has a question? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I hear some voice. Who? I hear something in the background. Who has a question? It's very hard to hear you. I just heard myself through your microphone. All right. Oh, that's Adi Purusha.
Yeah, I have a question.
Oh. Okay, how are you doing?
Good. We should come. We're going to come visit in like a couple of days.
It's hard to hear you because it's very bassy.
It's his fault. He's got the computer.
Yeah. Is it better now? Or?
Speak closer.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's better.
Can you explain the system about being nice to your enemies?
Well, anyway, let me put you on mute because I'm starting to hear myself. So being nice to your enemies doesn't mean you let them kick you in the face. Of course, you don't have enemies. They think of you as their enemy. You try to protect yourself in many different ways, but being nice means praying for their benefit. The perfect example of this is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was being whipped in 22 marketplaces. And the reason is because he wouldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna, and he was a Muslim, and they were people whipping him. And so normally you would be thinking, well, these people are my enemies because they're whipping me. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But instead, he was actually feeling compassion for them. And as they continued whipping Haridas Thakur, they started to feel anxiety because nothing was happening. Haridas Thakur was being protected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personally took the whips, the strokes. So and they were in so much anxiety that Haridas Thakur noticed it. And he said, why are you in anxiety? And they said, because nothing's happened to you and we're going to get in trouble. And please, something has to happen. Volume is low for everybody. My volume is low? No, other people say no. Everybody else is saying it's normal volume. So that must be all of you, Prabhus and Prabhis. So anyway, so yes, Adi Purusha, your mic is not good. Adi Purusha's volume was low. That's true. It was low for me too. So anyway, so getting back to the story, Haridas Thakur, he said, if that's your trouble, I'll take care of it. That's your problem, I'll take care of it. So he went into yogic trance. They thought he was dead. The chief Muslim said, yeah, throw the body into the Ganges. They threw the body into the Ganges, and he came out of the yogic trance a few miles away as he floated down the river. So the moral of the story is, or the reason I told the story, is that Haridas Thakur basically felt compassion for them. But doesn't mean that we allow people to hurt us or hurt other people. In fact, we should actually defend ourselves. If someone attacks us, you know, use your fists or use your guns, if you happen to have guns, if you're in America. We have devotees with guns, like Wyatt Earp. We have our own Wyatt Earp here in North Carolina. Anyway, you don't know who that is. And if you see someone else attacked, then you become like fire and you defend them. You know, someone else is attacked. It's not that we're advocates of extreme nonviolence. Violence is necessary to protect someone. I mean, what the whole Bhagavad Gita is about, Krishna advising Arjuna to fight, to do the right thing, to protect the citizens, to protect his brothers, to protect the honor of his wife. I mean, so many things, so many reasons he had to do. Protect religious principles. So for protecting religious principles, we can fight. But we never hate people. If this word hate is in your dictionary, you know, your personal dictionary, erase it. There is no hate. Yastu, actually, the Upanishad, another verse from the Upanishad. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanu pashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato vigyagupshate. The one who sees everything connected with Krishna never hates anyone or hates anything. In fact, we love the people even if they're attacking us. I mean, look at art. Let's use a Christian example. People were pinning Jesus Christ up on the cross, and he said, "Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do." That's pretty good. I'm not saying I could do that. I mean, I would probably say, "Kill them, Lord. Send them to hell, Lord." But, you know, that's the sign of a pure devotee is like that. You pray for the people who are attacking you. I mean, of course, you also pray that they'll stop attacking you. And they'll stop attacking the Krishna consciousness movement. But there's no question of hating, hate. Ah, hate that person. You know, sometimes, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you're driving the car and someone cuts you off, and all of a sudden this demoniac face appears on your face. You know, all of a sudden you're a sweet devotee listening to Prabhupada. Someone cuts you off and there's, you know, Ravana manifests himself. I was with a devotee one time. No one here on this. But someone cut us off, and then he said, "Maharaj, give me permission to beat up the person." And I was actually told, I said, "No, you don't have permission." But I was told in Australia that if you use your horn, you know, when I went to Australia for the first time, I was really shocked. Nobody uses the horn there. In America, you know, use the horn a little bit. In India, you push the horn button to make the horn go off, not to go on. In other words, in India, the horn's normal position is on. And the only reason you push the middle of the steering wheel is to make it go off for a few seconds. Right? I mean, India, even there in the back of a truck, it says horn, please. And I mean, it's quite amazing. Horn, please. So America is somewhere in between. So anyway, getting back to Australia. So I went to Australia. Nobody's using the horn. I said, What's wrong with you? And someone's pulling out of the driveway and you might hit them. Why aren't you using the horn? And the devotee said to me, if we use the horn, the guy will come out of the car and beat us up. And I said, okay, don't use the horn. I said, in India, it's exactly the opposite. If you don't use the horn, the person will come out and beat you up. Anyway, so it's not quite like that. So I just found it interesting that, getting back to the point, that someone can stimulate our anger very easily and cause us to consider them to be our enemy very easily. By interfering with whatever, you know, our sense gratification or our safety or something like that, we get extremely angry. We go, shh, like that. Or take your friend Sirpanaka, for example. Sirpanaka. I know some of you know Sirpanaka. I'm not referring to anyone's wife right now. So anyway, take Sirpanaka, for example. Sirpanaka, she approached Ram with love. I mean, not real love. So she approached Ram with lust. And she said, "I love you." Okay. And then Ram said to her that actually I married my wife here. You know, it's that caused a little bit of trouble. But my brother is here, and he's handsome as anything, and his wife's not anywhere around. Go for it. I'm putting in a little bit modern language here. So she goes to Lakshman. She says, Lakshman. And Lakshman says, you know, if you get married to me, you'll just be a servant of Ram and that lady, you know, the thin-waisted lady over there, Sumajima. So she goes back to Ram. And then because she's getting frustrated, she immediately manifests her claws. That Sarpanaka means the one with the claws, the long curved nails. And she goes to try to kill Sita Devi. And then, of course, Lakshman then, being the doctor that he is, performs an operation on her. Earectomy, nosectomy. You know, it gives her a nose job, which for many people would actually be helpful for their beauty. So, anyways, so Sarpanaka. So the point is that at one point she's less lusty, and then when she gets frustrated, she just turns into a monster. She's always a monster, but she manifests her monster qualities. So when we get frustrated, we manifest our monster qualities. They come out. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Or what was the other one? The werewolf. That on, I don't know if you know the story, on the full moon. So we have to get rid of that aspect of ourselves by controlling ourselves, our senses. And whenever we feel this demoniac side coming out, a red light should light up in our dashboard and just say, that's it, that's not me, I'm not supposed to be like that. Anyway, we should love everybody. That doesn't mean we act stupidly, but we should love everybody with intelligence. All right, so it's kind of frightening. So anybody else have any questions?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, this is Swapna.
Swapna, good to see you.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. I just want to know about the what is the difference between first initiation and second initiation, and what is the process like?
Okay. First initiation is called Hari Nam initiation. In it's actually, in one sense, it's preliminary. It's actually an initiation, but it's preliminary. That means beginning. It's like the freshman class in the university, in which one is officially making a vow that for the rest of my life, I'm going to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles and try my best to serve Krishna and become Krishna conscious. I've accepted as my goal to serve Krishna and to serve Prabhupada and my spiritual master. That's first initiation, basically. I mean, there's more, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, trying to avoid offenses. I mean, obviously, that's part of it, too. But, and then second initiation is called Brahminical initiation, in which one promises, and that's a more serious initiation. First initiation is given rather freely. Second initiation is given when one is actually qualified to try to cultivate motive goodness qualities, and they're going to endeavor to cultivate motive goodness qualities. And they're given the Gayatri Mantra, they're allowed to worship the deity at that particular juncture, and there's more responsibility. It's something like, you know, the freshman class in the university, and then all of a sudden you're doing graduate work, you know. Second initiation is graduate work. More is expected of you at that point. It's what brings one closer to the spiritual master and to Krishna, of course, and to Radha and Krishna. And it's extremely serious, and one has to be very careful in giving second initiation. It shouldn't be given out too freely. One should know the shastras. I mean, it's good that one knows, one should know Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe not backward and forward Srimad Bhagavatam, but one should know the Bhagavad Gita quite well. One should know the Isopanishad quite well. One should know the Nectar of Devotion quite well, at least the first portion of the Nectar of Devotion. I mean, when you get into the higher explanations of Nectar of Devotion, that's another thing, and the Nectar of Instruction. One should be able to know them and apply them to second initiation. First initiation is, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It's open basically to everyone. It's very, should be given very freely. There shouldn't be a lot of tests for first initiation, although sometimes they're giving a lot of tests for first initiation. Basically, we have our ISKCON disciple course. But basically, it shouldn't be like an intense, like going through the army or something like that, and going through basic training in the army. The second initiation is the surrender initiation. So that's basically, I mean, there's more. We're going to talk about that during the initiations that we do Tuesday in the United States. I mean, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday in the United States, and also Wednesday in Australia and New Zealand. That's right, Wednesday. So we're going to talk more about that. Thank you for the question. So who else has a question? Whoop. No more questions. Oh, there's Mother Tulsi. All I see is her hand on one television show that was called The Thing.
That's all you want to see.
All right.
I'm not sure if I'll word this right, but when someone's going through a hard time and then their lower qualities come out, I mean, it seems like there's multiple reasons. Krishna wants both parties to learn lessons because we're not pure devotees like Haridas Thakur. And if you could speak about it, please.
Well, when the lower qualities manifest in someone, have your phone handy and take a picture of them.
Record it too.
Well, you can record it, but at least take a picture of them with a demoniac face.
Okay.
Or when they start lamenting, you know, weeping. Sometimes the men and the women, they weep sometimes. Not often. Sometimes when they weep and throw a fit or something like that, you take a picture and you say, is this you? Is this the real you? Yeah. And if they refuse to accept, then you put it on Facebook and let the whole world see. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. This is humor. It's humor. I think we learn from our mistakes. I think if we have friends can actually say, is this really the way you want to be? Without finding fault in them. It's not that we want to say, hey, you look like a demon, Prabhu. But to say, is this the real you? The real you. I mean, give them a higher understanding. The real you is someone who's blissful all the time. I like the real you. And so, you know, there's different ways to approach it. But, you know, we learn from our mistakes. You know, when we slip a little, like a kid learning to walk in the morning, or any time of the day. When a kid learning to walk, you know, you fall down and you pick yourself up. You fall down and you pick yourself up. I mean, like, that's what life is about. I mean, if you just, like, got up on your feet and started walking like a cow does right after it's born. Just like here in Nugaloka, one of the devotees has a little kitten. And the kitten's only a few weeks old, and the kitten's walking. Not only walking, I watched the kitten like jump and, you know, just look for things. Got it pretty autonomous. And I was thinking, how many 6-week-old kids can do that? I've never seen a 6-week-old kid, you know, get up and walk. And jump off of a deck and look for rats to eat. Anyway. So we have a higher nature. But it takes time. We have to make as human beings, it takes a while to develop these good qualities. I'm not saying animals don't take a long time to develop. Animals are animals. But just like learning to walk, it takes a long time to learn how to, for a kid to learn how to walk or to go to school. Can you imagine how many years I had to go to school? You know, university and then 1 to 12, and probably there was kindy too, which I don't remember. And, you know, I was toilet trained at a certain point. You know, can you imagine all that I had to go through? Poor me. Anyway, so it takes time. It takes time learning to talk, learning to walk, learning to do anything. So just be patient, and we make mistakes and we learn from our mistakes. So don't worry, don't condemn anybody, because he who was without fault, let him throw the first stone. I know that the saying is, he was without any sin, let him throw the first stone, but it's pretty much the same thing. All right, I guess that's it. We should end now. Thank you all for joining us. And tomorrow, as I mentioned, tomorrow morning, we have this one program, which I can share again so you can see. Let's see, okay. Share that. You see it? Everybody sees it. Sharing hearts. It actually starts, the talk starts 10 o'clock to 11. It goes from 10 o'clock to 11:30 Eastern Daylight Time. And that will be an interesting discussion for an hour and a half. And the book you can pick up on the internet by going to Facebook, ISKCON Vaishnavi Ministry. So that'll be tomorrow. Anyway, and then tomorrow evening we'll also have a program, the same program, same time, same station, 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, 5 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Daylight Time, 7 o'clock in the morning, Australia time, 9 o'clock in the morning in Fiji, New Zealand time. And in Fiji, New Zealand, Australia, it's going to be Monday. Here it's going to be Sunday. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody later. All glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Prabhupada.